Hello again and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we watched Season 3, Episode 16 of Two Minds. And, after last week, I think our general feeling was one of a little bit more positivity. But I have to tell you that literally, like, not even 5 minutes into this episode, I had to pause it and leave it for like 20 minutes before I was just like, nope, you know what? I've just got to take a break from this bad boy and I will get back to you in a minute, Supergirl. And I watched the episode before you, so I can tell people that I gave you the heads up that I thought this episode was terrible. But you feel like that helped you some. So this...
Yeah. Before we start recording, I had mentioned that I was bracing for something way worse. And so I came back pleasantly okayed by it, even though I had some very, very specific notes on this one. But when you told me like it's that you really didn't like it, I saw what the plot summary was.
Yeah.
Online, because I was trying to figure out which one we had left off at, and so when I saw the plot summary, I went, "Oh no!"
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I was bracing for something a little worse. So in some ways, I'm pleasantly surprised, but yeah, this one had some issues.
Well, I will definitely tell you that, almost like as some kind of defense mechanism, my brain has apparently, even though I just watched this episode like yesterday or the day before, whenever it was, very recently, and I've already, it's like my brain has burned it out of my memory to try to keep me healthy and sane. Just go like, oh, let's get this bad negative feeling out of your brain. Let's just forget everything
just
that happened in the episode.
See, whereas I assumed just you trying to get, so I have to explain what happened.
No, but so the thing that made me realize that I had basically completely forgotten everything that happened was I also had to look up the plot summary to see what the name of the episode was. And when I read, I was like, oh yeah, I have no idea what happened in this episode. And I read the plot summary and it was like, oh, okay, yes, it was that one. And I was like, I can't believe I had already forgotten all of this nonsense. But if you would be happy to have a go at trying to explain the plot of this episode.
Yeah, feel free to explain the plot of the episode.
Okay, so, all right. Let's see how this goes. The overall plot is that they're finally having to deal with Pestilence, the third of the world killers. And it's that there's three, and it really seems like they're doing a the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse kind of thing. Didn't they say something about, wasn't that something that we complained about back in one of the early episodes from the season where they, also, doesn't it feel like it's been a million years ago since we started this season?
I mean, it doesn't help that we keep taking the podcast,
breaks.
But also, it does feel like, I've seen how many we still have left in the season. I'm like, God, this just keeps going.
So Pestilence is in the mix now because we found the other two. And it's funny that it seems like they're always just focused on finding one instead of like they don't have different teams going, oh, well, why don't we try to find all three of them at once? Why don't we try to figure this all out instead of going after one just after the other? But Pestilence is finally in the mix. They're trying to figure out what to do about her. You've got this awful, awful cliche trope of where suddenly these two ladies, these two characters who have been getting along fine and have had like a relationship that's kind of like grown and like as they've come to understand each other after sort of not being on the same page right at the beginning. And then for plot convenience sake, suddenly they have another thing that they're at odds about and just like don't want to talk to each other about and don't want to like, no one, it does that thing that I hate so much where people won't just explain things.
Yeah.
Where it's like a simple, not even a difficult, complicated conversation. Like you could have a very simple conversation and explain why this is such a big deal to you. or why this is, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, like the fact that Saturn Girl, it took until the end of the episode for her to say, like, hey, this is really personal to me because of the blah, blah, blah. Like, and, you know, not to dismiss the made up tragedy she's gone through. But
well, the made up in terms of like that the entire show.
Yeah, is the fictional. Whole thing is pretend. Yeah. It's a fake show. It's not real. But also, even more so, it happens in the future, which means it can obviously be changed.
Yeah.
So it's like double fake. But that thing where she could have just very easily like, hey, you know how important your sister is to you. That's why this is such a big deal to me, because it was my sister. And then Supergirl would have been like, oh my gosh, yes, let's talk about this and resolve this in a manner that doesn't involve silly superhero show stuff where we have to kill time until we can have the big fight at the end and everybody's back on the same team. So you've got that going. Then you've also got the nonsense with Lena is the only person in the world that can possibly help Sam. And like, she's doing all this by herself. And I was like, even if you were like an amazing whatever this calls for, which is fine with me. I mean, she's like supposed to be a super genius and everything. Anyone in, you would like, you need help just running all the tests. And like, there's only so many hours in the day. And she's supposed to be running this giant multinational corporation. And it seems like she never leaves that room. Also, I don't think I remember seeing a bathroom in that room that she has got Sam trapped in, which seems to be a real problem on all of these CW shows when they have like places where bad guys are locked up and there's no visible toilet. And just the whole thing of like, and suddenly, oh man, God, this episode is just garbage. There's just a bunch of stuff. And it's like none of it. There's so many things where it's not even. That's basically it. We don't see anything with Jean and his dad this week. There's Jimmy shows back up for a minute just so that Wynn can have someone to talk to and to remind us that he has a pseudo relationship going with Lena. But then there's Pestilence is first showing up and people are getting sick and they're going to die. And they have to figure out a way to stop it. And I think that's pretty much the plot of this episode.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a great podcast.
All right. Well, yeah. This is going to be super easy to catch up. So, guys, we'll see you next week on the next one when it's only a 10-minute episode.
So, I'm going to talk about the things that, since you kind of covered all the things that you really got frustrated on, I'm going to cover.
I'm sure I'm forgetting
and
stuff.
And I'm gonna go over what overlapped for me and what I feel like a lot of this could have worked if it wasn't for a few things. So one, I was very worried that they were going to have Saturn Girl and Supergirl's, you know, differing of opinions be more overtly about their relationships with the one dude in their lives. And I was at least pleasantly surprised, even though I was bracing for it the whole episode, because I saw them say that they have like a difference of opinion. And I was just like, oh God, they're going to bring that in. And like, isn't this done? And I could at least appreciate the fact that they kept that kind of, I also could see why they both had, how both of their points were valid, except for a couple things. One, what you said in terms of she should have told Kara about her sister way earlier.
Yeah.
And even though I think the one thing I liked about how that was handled was when Kara and when Alex was like put under and Santa Girl was clearly like really like, she looked like she was being triggered by just watching them in terms of like memories flashing back. She had like red eyes from watching these two sisters struggle with basically exactly what she went through. So I could at least appreciate that setup, but it is true that it is one of those things where all they could have done, all she had to do. And like, why didn't she tell the whole story when she was explaining?
Yeah. There's no reason not to tell it.
There's no reason
from the start.
Yep.
except for, well, we need it to drag out for the entirety of this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas,
and if, then the other thing I was going to say was, I felt like, so on one hand, she needed to communicate better. But on the other hand, Kara spent a good few episodes at the beginning of the season being all, I don't care about protect, like, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, and I'm gonna be the, like, I'm gonna be, like, super dark, and I don't care about saving, it's not about, like, I don't remember her actually saying that she was gonna kill anybody, but she definitely wasn't like, oh, I have to protect everyone, I gotta give everybody a chance. She went down that road, and so, like, her going, no, that's not our way, and I was like, it was your way for a while.
Yeah,
so maybe, like,
literally just at the start of this season, you were all talking about, I've got to embrace my Kryptonian side and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like they do that, like, once a season, they go down that road. She's like, oh, this is really. And then she has another learning moment where she's like, no, I guess I've got to, what's good about me is both parts of me are valid and blah, blah, blah. And my family is important. And
I will say, the other thing that I think that they didn't drop the ball on is that when Kara finds out about the sister dying, that she was super compassionate and she said that makes total sense. And I appreciate granted, this was after the climax of the episode, so maybe she would have still been very, but actually we still need to protect her. But at the very least, I appreciate the fact that when it was all said and done, they had a very frank conversation about all of this. I will say the one thing about Pestilence that I did like was, I just thought it was kind of a nice change that she was totally down for being evil. I kind of was like, oh, it's a, you know, like, they have the one where she couldn't control it and she ends up being taken over. But this one, she like, no, what are you talking about? I love this.
Yeah, she's like, what? Actually, this is pretty great.
Yeah, so it's not like, you can appreciate Kara trying, but also, she's good to go.
But also, you know? Like, with doing that, like, what are the writers trying to say about everything else that has been happening in this, like, this war of ideologies going on? Like, we're supposed to side with Supergirl. She's supposed to be right. But then they're probably going somewhere with it. I know.
Yeah.
Like, but what, it's just, if you take these things, you can't always assume that people are going to continue, you know, seeing where you're headed with things.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for this long of a season.
Yeah, it's like,
a lot. Yeah.
It's, you know, and also, I mean, I guess that sometimes they definitely don't assume people remember the rest of this season because of the things they do, like you said, about, didn't you just do this earlier in the season?
Yeah.
And they're just going like, no one. Maybe there is someone in the room who's going, didn't we already do something like that earlier in the season? And then someone else in the room is like, look, we're writing like 15 of these DC shows. I don't know. Probably. Let's just get this thing done. Same crew of writers writing like all five of these shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you've never watched The Flash. The Flash is way more guilty of this.
I've watched some of it.
Like, in terms of inconsistencies, I'm also thinking about, I'm a big fan of, on YouTube, Alison Pregler did a few years ago now, but an in-depth look at each of the seasons of Charmed. And if you want to talk about character inconsistencies and, like, it is amazing how much, one, they forget their own rules, and two, they're like, but also, like, in terms of the ethics, like, people just throw stuff out the window and they're whatever the writers want them to be that week. There's a lot of that. But that's what I was thinking about. So, like, comparatively, in terms of, like, old WBCW shows, there have been worse. However, it is, they do struggle with that. Also, since we're talking about still kind of we were talking about the beginning of this episode, can we both just pat ourselves on the back for totally calling them?
Oh my God. Right. That was the hardest thing to not, like, immediately
tell
spoil
you about.
For you.
I literally, listeners, I literally DM'd Chris while it was going on, going like, haha, we totally called Hot Brainiac.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course. And I don't think it's a spoiler now because it's been
pretty well known. It's been quite a while for everyone else, but they do that thing that we said they were going to do, which was either completely his look or have him be like, oh, I've got an image inducer or whatever they like in the X-Men. I think that's what I don't know if that's what they called it in this. I can't remember.
It's essentially like John Jones's same. Except John Jones has it in like the natural thing.
It's basically a disguise spell that is, now I just look like this actor. So we don't have to spend a bunch of time on makeup that looks absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I believe Starfire had that in the comics quite a lot because she was also a model, but like sometimes she would pretend to be a human or whatever. So.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
it's definitely a comic booky sci-fi kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure that they've had those on Star Trek or something.
Yeah. Whereas with Squirrel Girl, it's easy. She just tucks her tail into her pants.
Yeah. Look, I don't know how tails work, but I have seen some squirrels up close, and I'm like, I do not know if that would work. They do not look like they would work that perfectly.
They've explained that her butt just looks really good after she tucks the tail in.
Which is awesome. I'm just saying I don't know how the physics of that works out, I love that explanation.
But so the other thing I was going to say, and I'm assuming you already know this, but that Brainiac's coming back next season. You do know this, right?
No, but I think I could have guessed so far. I haven't had anything within this season, within the rest of this season spoiled for me.
Okay, well, accidental spoilers, but yeah.
That's fine, but I mean...
He's going to be, like, on the show regularly, so this is definitely them setting up the, like, see, we don't have to use our terrible makeup budget. But I love that we totally called, like, oh yeah, he's off doing stuff.
He's off, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do with him. They're like, oh, do we want to make it look like this, or do we want to try to just... have this cute guy be a cute guy on the show.
Yeah. It also doesn't make sense that he was like, oh, I went to the grocery store and everybody was freaked out at me. I'm like, we've talked about this all
but
the season
nothing
before
about,
this.
Yeah, none of the, there's all of the stuff with that, like none of that makes any sense on this show.
It doesn't.
Because it's like, it literally went from, they were like, oh, there could possibly be aliens? What the heck? The world's not ready to know about that. To suddenly then there's just like cops pulling over aliens, like it's a regular stop. And then there's like an alien bar and people and aliens are just walking around with like alien heads sticking out of like regular clothes.
Very Star Trek-y, like the bar's run by aliens, very Star Trek Voyager. Yeah.
And just all like out of like it's gone.
Nowhere, yeah.
You know, they've tried, it was like, you know, I guess it was last season was the thing where it was like illegal immigration was sort of like one of their big things in like real world.
It's such a good thing that that's not a hot button issue this year.
Yeah. We thought it was a hot button issue last year, but yikes.
Yikes.
So, but then it's like, that's completely all fall and where it's just people are like, oh, when's Dayton an alien? And like, there's just, sometimes it's there. Sometimes it's a big deal. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, these people are probably having to keep like a million different things, a million different balls in the air. So I'm not like, when we complain, it's more just sort of get it out of our system. I think sometimes so it's,
but you know, the good news is that the actor is a man of color, and it's nice for there to be an act that another man of color is actually going to get to show his real skin tone on the television show for like large portions of it. Yeah. It'll be nice so that it's not just an alien.
Yeah.
Well,
they've got the two very white people as white people from the future.
Yes.
And then the one actor who is a person of color is then, oh, we got to put you in blue.
Yeah.
And it's like,
And not to say either way, I can't remember if the woman who plays Saturn Girl is actually white or not. So that might be that's an asterisk for me. But yeah, but point taken, you still have Mon-El there in all of his bearded glory.
If she's not, I mean, she, I mean, there's
passing.
There's
a whole,
yeah, she passes as white, and also, and she's got that like really upper crust like accent. Yeah. So that inherently sounds kind of racist to me. So I assume she's white.
Yeah, that works. But anyway, but I'm very happy that Brainiac is around. I'm hoping that they actually set him up a little more because I like the idea of his character. Go ahead.
I want to come back to something.
I know that you have very strong opinions about Brainiac in general, and which is fine. Look, we all have those moments.
Sure.
Goodness knows, but I have optimism about them actually, especially now that he's going to be on the show proper. I think the actor is really charming, and I think they could do a lot with him. So I am cautiously optimistic about his future on the show.
You know what was really great with him, with regards to this show, was there was like a little while back. I think it was like they let him take over for a weekend or something, the Supergirl Instagram.
Oh, and, did they? I didn't, because I'm not on Instagram, so.
Oh, okay. Well, so it was either the Instagram or the Twitter, but I think it was the Instagram. And so there was like a weekend where it was all just like a bunch of fun stuff with him and the cast. And like maybe it was while they were at Comic-Con or something. But I was just like, oh, this, it showed how charming to me this guy could be in a way that, and fun and just like likable he is in a way that the show hasn't yet. So I have a lot of hope that he, you know, they could let him bring more and more of that out. As this whole episode honestly was kind of a tonal mess. Now that I'm like thinking about it, because there's parts where it's supposed to be really serious and you're scared, supposed to be scared for Sam, like, and she's having those scenes suddenly in the dark, you know, the sunken place woods where she's talking, you know, she's with Rain in the scary
or the
woods
upside down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever your pop culture.
Yeah. A thing which they have never done or shown before. And suddenly
last episode she was on. I think that they actually did convert, like it was her first time being conscious in that. So they did set it up in like a previous episode, but it was like at the very end.
That it's like, you know, suddenly there's this whole different dynamic between the two of them that it hasn't been there before, where she previously, you know, she's had no idea what's going on. She just has blank spots that are so blanked out that she has no idea something normal has not been going on. She's just like going about her business, even though none of that makes sense, because when she says she's got like 73 text messages all of a sudden that she has met, like she wouldn't have just looked at her phone.
Can I say one concern that I probably won't bring? Like, so it's really weird to me. I get why they did it in a comic booky way, but when she finally reunites unites with her two like evil counterparts and they cut away from her, and when they cut back, she's just in the full costume out of nowhere. So how does that work? Cause there's definitely a point where she does in an earlier episode, she does the Supergirl pull where it's actually,
it's under her clothes, but she was in like hospital gear. You would see the costume underneath there. It was short sleeved.
And she put on her, and like the mask was on. So does it just, is it kind of like the Animorphs, where the Animorphs kind of like can, when they morph out of their animal, they're able to do like their spandex clothing?
It's almost like there's no consistency on the show, and they just do things because they think no one's going to notice or care.
And again, to be fair, it's also based off of like, it's based off of a weird, weird old canon. Like it's
of the Animorphs.
No, I meant Supergirl. Like, know, like it's
the whole like conceit of having superhero costumes under your clothes and stuff like that is kind of ridiculous, you know, and there's so many instances in real life where it wouldn't make sense. But, you know, if you're going to go there,
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
If they were going to go there, I wish that Rain had done the spinny Wonder Woman thing. I know it would have been tonal dissonance. I don't care, because that would have been actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing I'm talking about. Where it's like, they do things, they want to try to like, really, and this was a thing that started bothering me in this episode that I don't think has like bothered me quite as much in an episode previously. But then I also realized it's a thing that kind of bothers me anytime they start trying to do comic stuff, not anytime, but oftentimes when they try to do live action comic stuff, where they want to still have some of these like comic booky things where it's like, oh, well, the sunglasses, or, you know, just the glasses work because whatever, you know, like, oh, when Kara has her glasses on,
and,
no one notices, or like, even though she's in like surrounded by reporters or whatever, or same deal with Superman. Or like, you know, some of these things like, oh, she just, even though she was wearing a short sleeve shirt a second ago and there was clearly no costume under it, and now suddenly she opens her shirt and there's a costume under there. Stuff like that. They want to have that stuff, but then they also want to try to like pseudoscience things to death, or like techno babble things to death, to try to make it sound like, oh no, this is very realistic, and here's an explanation for why this thing that is totally, you know, which is flying robot monkeys, like why it's actually very, oh, they're like drones or what, you know, like the stuff they do where it's like, either just do something that's fantastic or don't. You don't have to try to like, it makes it seem less realistic when you try to like over explain something that is like really could never, physics would never hold up for it or something, you know. Like, even if Superman was an alien, really there's no physical way his body could support the, you know, there's no way to make something dense enough and him still function and no one ever be able to tell. Like, you know, there's just all these things about superhero comics that you have to just let go. And even though so when you try to like really over science something else, you just end up sounding ridiculous to me, because it's like, okay, so you're saying there's no way to do this, but you've got a person right here that can do X, Y, or Z. I'm literally thinking of some of this like right as I'm saying it. I haven't put all this together, but that was something I remembered coming up, that just when she, anytime Lena starts talking about,
I was going to say, do you want to start talking about Lena? Because that was the other thing I assumed you had. So my frustration, a couple things. My biggest one is it really putting 500 volts, the only way you can help her in the situation? It's like, this is the only way.
And it's like, so really? Because thing. We've got footage from like the last episode where you just pissed me off and then I turned into her. So like,
yeah, or like literally anything else. Why is this like, why,
it's so
why
ridiculous.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Plot contrivance.
And then the other thing was, yeah, exactly. And then like you said, with the Saturn Girl and Supergirl stuff, where they're like, why don't we go to Supergirl? And I was like, that's a very good idea.
Because you know,
Supergirl's very empathetic, and Lena has an amazing relationship with her, and they would be able to figure it out.
And plus, they have an entire medical staff and facility, even though in this episode, it seems like Alex is the only doctor on staff at the DEO. She's the only one who ever does anything.
Yeah. So, and then she goes, no, if the government or Supergirl, I'm like, all right, the government and Supergirl are two pretty different things. At least in terms of like
Supergirl's going to let anything happen to her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so yeah, it was just one of those things where it's like, I know that the writers just want to make sure to like stall this out as much as possible.
Yeah.
I did kind of sickly enjoy Supergirl be like, we have to do, so what's going on there?
Wait a minute. Yeah, whoa, what is this all about?
Whoa. Yeah. And then,
you know,
like,
as much as these
realizing
clowns
it's actually a jail, and sorry.
It's not a jail. It's a medical quarantine. Come on. She's trying to keep everyone. It's like they keep wanting to try to do this thing where Lena's like seemingly, I feel like they're trying to make that a thing that it obviously shouldn't be. But then I've got a lot of problems with how all of this is going, but it's so much, it's all just stuff where you're going like, how many times can we say it? Where it's just like, yeah, we know you're just, it's like, this is just being done to like,
stall.
Yeah. Like we have this much of a season and we've only got this much of a story and we can't waste more story than we've got. We can't be trying to like, really get creative and do interesting things. We got to kind of keep it just along this basic level of quality. That's just, you know, good enough to get done in what the turnaround time on these episodes are. Like, did you watch any of Legion?
First season, not second season.
Okay. First part.
I just haven't gotten around to it. I plan to at some point.
Yeah. But like, that's a show where, you know, there's not as many episodes, but you're just going like, holy cow, everything feels it's like every scene and thing that goes on in that show feels like it means something. It doesn't feel like there's tons of filler or just stuff that's in there and then it doesn't lead anywhere, or it's, you know, you're just like, what was that about?
I mean, the other like go-to for me is The Good Place, because
every episode of that is so fantastic. And like, it's funny you'd mention that, because literally what I was doing right before we started recording, or before I started getting ready for us to record, because this time I factored in how much lead in time I usually need to make sure everything is up and running.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We watched three episodes of The Good Place right before this, and man, it put me in such a good mood. And then we stopped because I needed to do this. And I was like, oh, that's right, I got to talk about that bad show now. I was
going to say, you know that season two of Netflix is on Netflix now, right? Like as of today.
Yes. Even though I got the DVD of the second season the day it came out.
Wow.
Yeah. I support the things I like by buying their physical
media.
No,
I mean, oh, come on. No, I'm more like, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, DVDs are too much of a hassle.
Oh, no, but that's the thing. That's what I was going to say, is I bought the DVD the day it came out and still haven't opened it. And then they put season two on Netflix today. And I was like, well, let's start it up. And it's like, the DVD is right there.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been patiently waiting. So that's going to be my evening, actually, is watching more of it. Watched it all through, but yeah. But no, that show is so tight, and it is because it's only like 13 episodes or so. And they're able to keep it super tight every single episode.
So
I think there's maybe like one, there's only like one that could, one or two a season that could be technically considered filler, but there's still enough like character growth in it
filler is fine. If you've if it has like a purpose for,
yeah, like breathe, let it breathe.
Yeah. You know, give you, it's not like we're saying there should just never, ever be any filler in shows, but it's like when every episode or the middle 15 episodes feel like nothing ever really changes that much. And it's all just kind of like, oh, here's another thing where it's like, here's this week's bad guy. And then this is the thing. And when people just learn the same lessons over and over and like revert back to where they were last season for one episode for no reason. And like, it's just when it's all the time. But also, like, The Good Place is so good because it's like, it's clearly everything on that show is so well thought out ahead of time. Like, they know where they're going with stuff. And it never feels like they're just flying by the seat of their pants and just going like, ooh, let's just hurry up and get this one done.
Yeah.
And I know that
they
can difference.
Because it will throw everything off. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like this show has to be really careful in how it plans everything out. And I obviously the demands on a 13 episode show that's only a half hour and is like a comedy, is different than the demands for one of these 24, 26, however many episode seasons.
And especially because The Good Place actually had only one episode where someone flies, and then they're like, well, we have to cancel flying forever now.
Yeah.
That has to cut back on
some of that stuff. But I mean, it's like, that's, they're planning all that stuff out ahead of time when they're doing the writing way in advance and figuring stuff out. You know, they know what the end of the season is going to be when they start, before they even start the season. So, you know, before they start filming, they've already got so much stuff planned out. And even if it's just one of those things where you go, how long can we complain about this before we are just, it's like, well, y'all are clearly the ones who are wrong, because you it's obviously, this is just how these shows are and you have to accept it. Which is depressing to think about. I just want these shows to be as good as we feel like they can be, which is a thing I keep saying, but it keeps being true. And so, I just, when you see these things, and it's like, even to, you know, people like us who, you know, even though we watch this show and I think we try to watch it with a fairly careful eye, we're not even like, we're not mega invested in it as like, we don't like go back and like, we're not like rewatching it for personal, just regular personal enjoyment. And when we can see things that are like, that are obvious, sort of like, well, that seems off, or, you know, things where it's just like, oh, it seems like this would have saved you some time or been easier or smarter or fill in the blank.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of a, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how any other way to say it. Oh, let me jump back to this Saturn Girl thing just real quick. Speaking of changing people to fit the role, where it's like they took the one guy of color in the group and made him have a fright wig and blue skin. They didn't even make the girl playing Saturn Girl dye her hair blonde, which Saturn Girl in the, for all the comics and the cartoons and stuff, has always had blonde hair. And that would have been so much more perfect, I feel like, in this one particular instance where Mon-El is coming back, where it's like, if he's going out with someone who basically looks just like Supergirl, only she's like from the future and like very kind of like Tahani, like, you know, she's like very, oh, hello.
See, now you're just going to have me shipping Saturn Girl and Supergirl, because this is how my brain works, because this is, because that's the archetype that I'm like, oh yeah, those two should be together.
Well, you know, thinking about it, like with, like, if I start thinking of the two of them, like they're Eleanor and Tahani, then it really, which now has started, is kind of started sorting. Whoa. I think I'm having a seizure, is sort of starting to make me think that they cast her Saturn Girl like that specifically to make her seem like this, comic hero, superhero Tahani.
Yeah. Man, now I just want, now I really do want like a Tumblr that's just people putting Tahani Eleanor comments over Saturn Girl and Supergirl line, like screenshots. That would be perfect. And I don't want to do it, so someone else will have to do it. I'm sure no one wants to do it now because the season's over. But it should exist.
It's a thing that should exist.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, oh yes, I'm just too, I've been cursed with ample bosom. Oh, how sad for you.
Yeah, just like, but especially then if Mon-El comes back from the future with a lady who has got, looks like a slightly more model-esque version of Supergirl, you know, where she's got the blonde hair and everything. See, that kind of conflict writes itself, where it's like, oh, he went to the future and got another me. Like, even though Supergirl wouldn't say that, you know, but like that kind of thing, where like, it just would have been.
It's the Arrested Development line. Like, he certainly has a type.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, it's it you know, everybody could sort of feel that wonderful awkwardness that that situation would cause. It's like, oh, and here's my wife. Oh, you went and got married to someone who's exactly like me. But she's, oh, see, this would have been made for a much more interesting show. But again, that's what I, back to the other thing that I was saying, was that this episode, and so often on this show, the tonal problem is like, just take an episode and have it be all serious. Like every episode doesn't have to try to tick all the boxes where you've got the silly stuff. And then you got a scene where Wen is crying and it's talking about how he just finally gotten things right with his mother and he's ready to be the next Steve Jobs. And I'm like, pump the brakes, dude. Like you used to just be the IT guy at a magazine / whatever, you know, but, and now suddenly you're working for the DEO and saying you're going to be the next Steve Jobs. And I'm not saying that someone can't work an IT job and be the next Steve Jobs, but it's just really kind of like a ridiculous scene. And also that it played out in, you know, like a minute and a half or something. And James comes in and goes from, hey bud, what's going on? To like, oh, you're going to beat this man. And it's like, could you not give us tonal whiplash in the course of, you know, one scene?
I know why, but do you want to know why? Because it's something outside of the show.
Oh, okay. What's his name leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Winsley. Oh boy.
Yeah, so they're setting that up early that, like, I don't know exactly how he leaves, but he's not gonna be a series regular anymore.
You know what? I didn't know that, and somehow I definitely had not heard that, but when I was watching that scene,
I felt like
the actor, I was just going like, I bet he doesn't want to do this anymore. Like, I literally remember thinking that. I was like, this kind of all seems like he's bored on the show. And like, well, that he's trying to give that much of a performance in this one little scene where the show is not really quite like that. And people don't just suddenly have that kind of thing exactly. Sometimes I mm-hmm. guess there are, but it just seemed like way too big to all of a sudden.
Yeah. If I didn't know that information, I thought they might have killed him off. Like, that's the thing. Like, that they might have killed him off this episode. What I think it is, too,
that's
is
wild,
that,
though, that I really thought that. I really thought about how I was like, he must not have that much fun doing this show. Or he must be getting kind of bored of this or something.
I think part of it, too, is that if I recall from when they announced it, that because he's a big Broadway person. Like, that's where he got, like, he starred in a
what
bunch
he's known.
Of stuff on Broadway. Yeah. And I get the sense that he wants to go back to New York and actually do that. But don't quote
he
me.
He doesn't
on that,
want to be stuck in Canada shooting awful TV shows.
Maybe he just wants, they didn't do a musical number this. So he didn't get to
get to scratch that itch.
If only people would listen to me and there were 5 musical episodes every season, then maybe he would have stayed around.
Look at how awful things get with this show just trying to do their normal stuff. Can you imagine how bad it would be by the fifth one?
It would be amazing. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, they can't keep stuff going at like a good level for just normal episodes. So it's like, I have to imagine a musical episode is like 10 times harder.
It's probably exhausting.
Yeah, so it's like
After
the first one, I feel like they would be so out of ideas or so just exhausted, they would turn just to madness by the end of five of those per season.
Probably. I would be happy, though, and that's really what's most important, so.
Yeah, you got to look out for number one.
Yeah, look out for number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, there was just so much stuff in this episode. Oh, also, there's like stuff, there's tons of little things to nitpick, too. Where it's like,
of course,
Rain is in the, and I could just go on. I feel like I could just go on like second by second. She's in the thing and she can't get out of it. But then when her buddies show up, they just break it immediately. And it's like, well, why couldn't Rain just bust up out of it then? If they come in and crash right through it. And if it's powerful enough to keep her in, it should be powerful enough to keep them out. I would think.
I thought it was that they destroyed like the system, like the computer system or something.
It looked to me like, I'm not going to rewatch it, but it looked to me like
that is damning. That is some damning.
Yeah. It looks kind of like they just come crashing through it. I mean, they do wreck some stuff and everything, but I feel like there were a couple things in this episode, to not be totally negative. I feel like there were a couple things in here where I was like, oh, that's kind of a neat something, like just a one little glimmer of something. I will say, though, I just remembered also saying, speaking of him leaving, of Wen leaving, there's a point on this episode where I was watching it and April had come in the room for a little bit and was watching it with me And something happened, and I just go, there are too many people on this show. So maybe it's good that he's leaving. I mean, even though I enjoy him very much on the show.
Yeah.
He's generally, you know, kind of fun and very solid. But yeah, so maybe I don't know. I started to say maybe he deserves better than this show, but then it's like, well, I'm not saying that other people on the show don't also deserve better.
Yeah.
But then I guess what I'm really saying is this show should be better.
I desperately want you, because I know it's on Netflix, the recording of his lead role in Newsies.
Oh, yeah,
His accent in there. And to be fair, when Christian Bale originated that in the 90s, he also had a terrible accent. But they do not get rid of the terrible accent. He continues on the tradition of terrible New York accent.
That's part of the tradition.
It's pretty great, but he's also has like an amazing voice. I would highly recommend you watch it because it's pretty entertaining. There should be some on YouTube. There should be some, like, at least like little clips. It is, but it's, if you remember the musical episode that they did where he's playing like a bar piano player or whatever, it is essentially that accent, which is why I lost my darn mind, because I was like, oh my god, he's doing the Jack Kelly accent. This is the greatest day of my life. And it was right after like the 2016 election. I needed some bright light in my life at that point. I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited about this.
I think I must not have seen that, because so that was on
you need
the,
to watch that.
That was on The Flash.
Yeah,
was why
you
I didn't
need
see
to
it, cause it was
sit
like...
down and watch it, because it's amazing. He and basically anybody with any musical chops ended up doing something on it. And it is so good. It is so entertaining. I highly recommend. It's great.
I'll find that episode.
So that might have to be, maybe that'll be a bonus episode at some point. We'll sit back and watch it and talk about how delightful it is. Yeah, now we're talking. Now here's some fun stuff. This is what I'm saying. Every season should have 5 musical episodes for my enjoyment. Anyway, the thing that kind of like I feel so torn about with this episode is, in some ways, I like the fact that I was surprised at who Pestilence was, because they really telegraph the idea that the girl with the cookies has the same like
the
she's
the
only
they
character,
showed her
right?
the first instant you see her on screen, they're like, someone goes, thanks, Addie. And it's like, oh, so we know her name now. So that definitely means she is someone. And it's but it very much felt like that thing, though, where I was like, you played it a little too hard. Because I was now it's like, I know it's not going to be
how
her.
How fast does that cookie go through his system before? Like, man, that is a very poisonous cookie.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's Scratch. I'm like, I don't remember her touching him. But then also, like, the thing is that, one, when they said like, oh, it can't be her, then I was like, well, who? Oh, okay, it has to be the doctor, because it's the only other like person that we. This is
but
the
how
problem
did the doctor
when you do a murder mystery
see,
and you.
How did the when you're trying so hard to set it up as one person as a trick that you don't bother going back and making it make sense? It turns out it's that doctor, but that doctor was only there because of the outbreak. Like, she shows up to the, so it's like, how did she get to the mayor earlier that day to have that happen?
They do explain it. Yeah.
What did they say?
They do explain it. The girl who had the cookies, they went on to her like social media and she had taken a selfie, and it turns out that the doctor was there previous, like the day before, specifically for like a health fair thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I do remember them. I remember that part with them. And I was like, I thought that was just a selfie from in that same day. But then I was like,
that
doesn't make
before.
Sense because the doctor wouldn't. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But no, what
I'm saying that all right is though the people who make the show are listening and are like, see?
All right, fine.
You think
fine.
You know everything. You think you're
so
smart.
You get one notch in your favor. We got like 27 already. So you got to catch up. So my frustration was that they had only set up 2 people. So as soon as the one person got knocked out,
as soon as you know it's not one of them.
It is like the worst. It is the worst setup if you're doing a murder mystery, which essentially this is. And I'm like, oh, so it has to be the doctor. The only reason why I didn't suspect her immediately was because I assumed she was hitting on Alex, because she was like, oh, someone's, I trust you. And then she, yeah, like, and it was shot in a knowing way. So I was like, oh, she's going to come back and like ask Alex for a date, because Alex has been single for enough episodes that they can get her back.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she seemed like interested, but no, she's only interested because she's trying to poison them. So, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. So she's not a lesbian. She's just evil. I get it now. Okay. I was getting lesbian vibes, but obviously yeah. it was actually evil vibes.
Well,
okay,
and I thought it was going to be one of those things where I was like, well, Wynn hasn't, that girlfriend of Wynn's hasn't been around for a while. Maybe that's, oh, there's, oh, I was like, I was like, oh, maybe they're starting a cute.
How heteronormative hold on. Hold on. Of you, Chris.
Hold on. I was like, oh, maybe they're starting a cute little banter between the two of them. And then as soon as she was like, whatever. And then she said that, now you, I was like, oh, maybe they're going this way with it. Okay. Good for them. But then, yeah, no, of course not. It's neither of the
it's neither of them. No,
it's neither of those.
Yeah, it was just, this episode didn't frustrate me, but I do think it's because you had set me up to think that I was going to hate it. And instead I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't need to watch this again.
I just kept having to like stop and like, literally, I mean, it took me probably 2 hours to watch the thing, if not longer, because I kept stopping and just going like, I can't watch any more of this right now. And at one point, April came back in the room and was like, is this still the same episode? And I was like, yes. And I was like, because I keep having to stop it to like, and then I was like, I'm trying to decide if it's worse to prolong it like this, or if it's worse to like try to stomach it all at once when it's bad. And she was like, yeah, you just should not watch this show. And I was like, well,
no, you have to.
Yeah,
I have a Patreon.
But I did. Yeah, exactly. When I told her, though, I was like, sometimes it is good. I was like, just the last episode before this, we enjoyed. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, this one is just very, really irritating me.
Next season, I'm telling you, next season, once they get, they gotta do something.
What it seems like the gimmick they do on all of these CW DC shows is, instead of, it never becomes just about like improving the quality from season to season. It always just seems to be like, hey, next season we're going to bring even more comic things in.
Like,
yeah. And it's just like, hey, look, it's going to get even crazier with more comic stuff next season. So people, it's like, they just want to keep the like hardcore like comic fans, and then people who are going to watch the show no matter what, that are just like really big, who are totally into the show. You
suckers
know what I mean?
Like us, what well, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, and you know, some of that, there's overlap where it's like comic fans and people who just love the show. And then there's some who are just like into the show, and some who are just watch it because they're comic fans, even though they don't like it. Or, you know, or just kind of like, oh, I want to see what happened. I want to see how they do the Legion. And it's like we've said before how that's why every new thing they have to like tease out and make last for as long as they can, where it's like Mon-El and the Legion, Mon-El shows up, and then Mon-El and the Legion show up. And then two episodes later, they finally put on the costumes, but it's not, or you see they have the flight rings, and then like, three episodes later, Mon-El finally gets in his like actual comic costume. And it's like, they just prolong each of these like things. Hey, remember this from the comics? Hey nerds, check it out. Get excited about this and tweet about it. Instead of just having like Mon-El show back up at the first of the season and be like, we're here to help. We've got to take care of this thing. And then they deal with it really efficiently. It's like a lot of hemming and hawing and people going, well, I don't know if I should tell about this. And it's like, well, you came back 1,000 years into the past, so it seems like you would have had time. You would have talked about this or planned it out or blah, blah, blah. And just the way that it's like every episode seems to like, they want to try to get everything in on every episode. It's like, there's got to be a bunch of jokes, but there's also got to be like a real action stuff. And then there's got to be like some serious drama, and there's got to be something kind of spooky or where we're scared about stuff. And this show and the cast, and I think the writing, has the ability to do all of those things, But if they would break them up and go like, hey, this is going to be the serious episode where we're really going to deal with some stuff and it's just going to kind of focus in. And maybe there's like one or two light moment, you know, like lines in there that kind of like lighten things up for a minute to give you a breather. And then it's just, we deal with this serious thing. Mm-hmm. And then this next episode is like, oh, we're going to do a really sort of horror centric kind of like this whole episode is going to be scary. You know, it doesn't have to be quite that drilled down, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like when every episode is just everything all at once, it just becomes like a mess of where you're like, oh, okay. He's a minute ago, he was cracking jokes and it was fine. And now he's crying. And now immediately we're jumping to a fight scene. And it's like, how do you want me to feel? Do you even want me to feel any of these feelings? Because you don't give me time to fully deal with any of them. So it just all kind of comes like, eh, okay, whatever. I don't really care.
But we do like the show.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Honestly, I think more than I like the show, I like talking to you about it. Fun. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to, if we treat it like it's sort of like a writer exercise for us, where we watch this show, we torture ourselves watching this show, and then we try to figure out what they did wrong and how we could fix it. Maybe there's some value to that. But also then, you know, there are the episodes like when they were teenagers and it was just an episode about the young Danvers sisters. That was great. So maybe just more episodes that are good, I think, is what would really be the best thing.
I mean, the good news is, as you know, we're going to get more Clark next season.
Yes. But I am super excited about.
We're finally getting Lois. I know you're nervous about that.
I'm very nervous. Yes. Yes, I'm very nervous about that.
There's lots of ways it could go wrong. But at the same time, there are lots of ways that they could have gotten Clark wrong, and they did him really well. So, like, I'm very pumped about Lois. And also, we're getting Batwoman, which is one step closer to getting Batgirl, which is where my heart lies. I'm also excited about Kate Kane. Don't get me wrong. I am. But also, like, they will absolutely want to bring in one of the Batgirls, and I'm super pumped about that. I don't know which one it will be, but there is a zero chance that they are not going to bring in one of the Batgirls.
What show is Batwoman going to be in anything besides the crossover thing, or is she like going to actually?
She's getting a full show. Yeah, she's getting her own show. Yeah,
I do not remember hearing that aspect of it.
I'm 99% sure. Now she's also showing up in the crossover, but she's getting her own show.
I am immediately looking this up to see. Let's.
Yeah, you tell me if I'm wrong. I'd rather know if I'm wrong or not, but I'm pretty sure she's getting her own show.
This is not saying anything about her getting her own show, but it says December is the. Let me see. I could just not be getting to that part of the article yet. I'm basically just like skimming the headlines. Okay. Yes. It says she's going to be on the thing in December, on the crossover in December. But man, see, that's the thing too, is it's like, it was already a ton of stuff going on in the last one. And it's like, now you're going to add, okay, Superman and Lois and Batwoman and Black Lightning, and Black Lightning's cast of characters. Like, oh boy. Plus the
also,
people.
I want to point out, but yeah, to be fair, I was correct that there is a series.
Yes, absolutely. There I'm just trying to see. Coming.
Yes.
It doesn't look like they have any. It doesn't look like they have any kind of like set date.
No, but it would be
for when
so
that
I'm
show.
Honestly, I'm not even like that worried. They killed off a few of the Legends of Tomorrow characters. Well, one of them happened in the crossover, so you can't.
Yeah,
tell
I remember
me.
That one.
I don't think they killed actually off the other one of the the fire guy.
Storm.
Firestorm. Yeah, I think he just left the show.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, the actor who's playing Wally West is taking a break right now from like TV show stuff, so he's probably not going to be in it. He's still alive. Like, the character's still out right. there, but he's just kind of doing his own thing.
Yeah, it seemed
so,
like
they've clearly shuffled off some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like where they left that was trying to be a thing of like, yeah, he kind of wants out of here, so we're just going to do it like this.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, but I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of just along for the ride. But I do have to admit that I think I've been more specifically keeping up with Supergirl specifically because of this podcast, because I think we have a good time deconstructing it and figuring out what we like and what we didn't like.
And it's great when there are good things with the episode. We're like, it's very exciting. So that's fun.
I'm optimistic about next season. I think that once they get past the rain thing, which I never really had an interest in, like even when they set it up last season. So I'm hoping once we get past it, that again, I'm hoping that those aren't damning words. But,
right.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what the rest of it is, and I'm always looking forward to talking to you about it.
Yes, I think that's the perfect way to sum up how we feel about this episode.
Yes.
For me, generally, this was just basically a thumbs down kind of top to bottom. But it's nice that we can talk about it and that you did not have quite the same negative experience that I did.
It was still fairly negative. It just wasn't quite as, the ire wasn't as quite bad. As, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was a mild devil's advocate this episode,
right.
I think.
Yeah. But still fun. And, you know, the next episode, knock on wood, could be way better. Who knows? Probably not, though. So, Katie, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online and all the good things that you have going on that people need to know about?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at JustPlainTweets, which is where I usually talk about random stuff. Usually whenever anything exciting happens, like, Lois Lane being announced to be coming to the CW crossover, that sort of thing. I usually am very, very opinionated about those sorts of things on Twitter. I have a book out. It's called The Cardboard Kingdom. And I will be doing lots of different events going into the fall, including I'm going to be a featured guest at Comic Con in Dearborn, Michigan in the middle of October. So you can check me out there, as well as some other things in the Chicago area. I'm going to be doing more signings and more readings and stuff. We also have a few other things that I can't talk about with that, but good stuff is coming soon. Besides that, I have a few other projects in the works, but those are largely what I have comics wise. And then my other podcast, Crystal Clods, is on a sort of, is more of a delay similarly to this show. It's on a bit of a delay. We have, L Collins and I have some episodes to watch, but we are going to be getting, back into that soon ish. So, but if you haven't watched it yet, you can check it out on L's, podcast feed, which I believe is still the Intuit podcast feed. So,
and I'll put the appropriate links for that into the show notes.
Yay. Hey, Chris, where can people find you?
I'm at Twitter. They can find me at my house. Generally, in addition to my dog, we now have a new kitten that I rescued off
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I rescued this.
Oh, wait, no. Maybe I didn't know about the kitten. I didn't know that you rescued. I thought maybe you had.
Well, I was not trying to keep it. I was just trying to save it from being out in the middle of the street.
Uh-huh.
And
then, like Kara, you're bleeding heart.
Yeah. More like my wife's puppy dog face being like, oh, but I like this kitten so much. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't. You know, it was. She wore me down. Yeah. Not that I, obviously I, it was a whole to do saving this cat and getting it to trust me long enough for me to get close enough to, it's like 1 a.m. out on the side of the road, trying to like coax this cat, this scared, tiny little kitten to come let me snatch it up and take it to the, you know, get it in the car and then take it to the vet and everything else. And she's, her name is Gidget. She is 9 weeks old. She is a tuxedo cat. She is very cute, very playful, very sweet. And, that has kept up even more, kept me at home, maybe even a little more than normal dealing with her. But, so that's a good place to find me is on, at the Chris Haley on Twitter or on Instagram, where I post pictures about cats and dogs that live with me now. And talk about Superman things on Twitter. I just posted this thing yesterday, and I intentionally worded the way that I posted it in a inflammatory manner to get people to give me the data I was looking for.
Got it. Yeah, I was going to say, on Twitter, you can also see me ranting about how Superman being too strong for Lois Lane physically is a bunch of hooey. I had a big rant that went semi-viral just a few days ago. So if you like Clark Kent ranting comments, you can also check me out on Twitter, because that occasionally happens.
So, oh man, I should embed both of these tweets in the show notes so people will know exactly what we're talking about.
I ended up muting. Well, yeah, do it anyway, because I muted that conversation, so it's fine.
So you can check me out on Twitter. I've got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. You get shows early. I just, last week I uploaded a new coloring book page for people to print out and color, or to let their kids color or whatever. And, one of the listeners, sent me pictures, who's a teacher, sent me pictures of, he and some of the kids, colored this picture of Spider-Man that I did. And that was very cool to see.
Should I mention my Patreon?
Absolutely.
Please give me money. Yeah. Please give me money at patreon.com/justplainsomething. I would appreciate it. Cause I can always
Please give me money is a good,
I mean, you can also buy my book, but also please give me money.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a good hard sell. You can do that. If you're listening to this, you probably already know all the stuff, so whatever, it's fine. All the stuff's in the show notes. If you need to find,
everybody's just waiting for the after credits.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and draw this out another 20 minutes. Make them wait. No, I'm just kidding. That's all the stuff on me. Thank you everyone for listening. Thanks for all the supporters, all the good stuff. Thank you. We just talked about it before this episode started, about how we are making definite plans to get things caught up a little better. So now that I've said it'll either completely jinx us, or it will force us to do it. So let's see which one happens.
It's only August. It's fine.
Yeah. We've got tons of time before the season starts again. Anyway, so guys, I guess we'll see you here next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Bye. I just want to get through this season so badly.
Yeah.
And then when you messaged and it was like, it's not good, I was like, oh, this is making me super excited to get to go through it. But
I'll save this for when we're talking about it. Yeah,
we'll save it. I feel like you set it up, so I was slightly pleasantly not as disappointed, but it wasn't good but yeah. I was bracing myself for something far worse, so I think you set my expectations so low that I was like, oh, okay, I'm not too curious.
Bad.
Yeah, I might be the devil's advocate in this podcast for once.
I wish somebody had set me up like that.